Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, Elements of Material Creation. And we're reading verse 26. But we start actually from verse 15. I'll just read through to verse 15. I'm into verse 26 from verse 15. Shrotram tva darshanam grano jiveti jnana shaktaya vakpan yupasta pavrangri karman yango bayamana. Hearing, touch, sight, smell, and taste. Actually, yeah, don't put them on the ground. Yeah. Hearing, touch, sight, smell, and taste are the five knowledge-acquiring senses, my dear Uddhava. And speech, the hands, the genitals, the anus, and the legs constitute the five working senses. The mind belongs to both these categories. Verse 16. Shabda sparsho raso gandho rupam chet yarta jataya gat yukt yutsarga shupani karmayatana siddhaya. Sound, touch, taste, smell, and form are the objects of the knowledge-acquiring senses, and movement, speech, excretion, and manufacture are functions of the working senses. Purport. Here the word utsarga refers to evacuation by the genitals and anus, and thus constitutes two elements. In this way, 10 elements are listed here in two sets of five. Sargado prakritir hyasya karyakarana rupani satvadabir gunair date purusho vyakta ikshate. In the beginning of creation, nature assumes by the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance its form as the embodiment of all subtle causes and gross manifestations within the universe. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not enter the interaction of material manifestation, but merely glances upon nature. Purport. The Personality of Godhead is not subject to transformation like the subtle and gross material elements. Thus the Lord is avyakta, or not materially manifest at any stage of cosmic evolution. Regardless of the specific method of cataloguing the material elements, the Lord remains the ultimate creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the total cosmic situation. Vyaktadayo vikurvana datava purushekshaya labdha virya srijant yandam samhata prakritir balat. As the material elements headed by the Mahatattva are transformed, they receive their specific potencies from the glance of the Supreme Lord. And being amalgamated by the power of nature, they create the universal egg. Saptaiva dhatava iti tatrarta panchakadaya jnanam atmo bayadaras tato dehen driyasava. According to some philosophers, there are seven elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, along with the conscious spirit soul and the supreme soul, who is the basis of both the material elements and the ordinary spirit soul. According to this theory, the body, senses, life, air, and all material phenomena are produced from these seven elements. Purport. Having explained his own viewpoint, the Lord now summarizes various other analytic methodologies. Shadityatrapi bhutani panchashashta parapaman taryukta atma sambhutai shrishtvedam samupavishat. Other philosophers state that there are six elements, the five physical elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and the sixth element, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that Supreme Lord, endowed with the elements that he has brought forth from himself, creates this universe and then personally enters within it. Purport. Srila Sridharaswami states that according to this philosophy, the ordinary living entity is included within the category of the supersoul. This theory thus accepts only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the five physical elements. Chatvarye veti tatrapi teja aponam atmana jatani taridam jatam janmavaya vina kalu. Some philosophers propose the existence of four basic elements, of which three, fire, water, and earth, emanate from the fourth, the self. Once existing, these elements produce the cosmic manifestation in which all material creation takes place. Sankhyane saptadashake bhuta matrendriyani cha pancha panchaika manasa atma sapta dashasmita. Some calculate the existence of 17 basic elements, namely the five gross elements, the five objects of perception, the five sensory organs, the mind, and the soul as the 17th element. Tadvatso shodasha sankhyane atmaiva mana uchyate bhutendriyani panchaiva mana atma trayodasha. According to the calculation of 16 elements, the only difference from the previous theory is that the soul is identified with the mind. If we think in terms of five physical elements, five senses, the mind, the individual soul, and the Supreme Lord, there are 13 elements. Purport. According to the theory of 13 elements, the sense objects, aroma, taste, form, touch, and sound, are considered byproducts of the interaction of the senses and physical matter. Ekadashatva atmasu mahabhutendriyani cha ashto prakritayash chaiva purushashna navetyata. Counting 11, there are the soul, the gross elements, and the senses. Eight gross and subtle elements plus the Supreme Lord would make 9. Iti nana prasankhyanam tatvanam rishibhi kritam sarvam nyayam yuktimatvad vidusham kimashoganam. Thus, great philosophers have analyzed the material elements in many different ways. All of their proposals are reasonable, since they are all presented with ample logic. Indeed, such philosophical brilliance is expected of the truly learned. Purport. The material world has been analyzed in innumerable ways by innumerable brilliant philosophers, but the conclusion is always one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Aspiring philosophers need not waste their precious time showing off their intellectual brilliance, because there is little left to analyze on the material platform. One should simply surrender to the absolute truth the supreme element, Lord Sri Krishna, and uncover one's eternal consciousness of God. Hare Krishna. Now verse 26, it's on your sheets there. Chapter 22, text 26. Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha.
Prakriti Purushas Chobhau.
Prakriti Purushas Chobhau.
Yad Yap Yatma Vilakshana.
Yad Yap Yatma Vilakshana.
Anyonya Pashrayat Krishna.
Anyonya Pashrayat Krishna.
Krishyatena Bidatayo.
Krishyatena Bidatayo.
Prakrita Lakshate Hyatma. Prakritischa Tatatmani.
Prakritischa Tatatmani.
Sri Udhavaruvacha.
Sri Udhavaruvacha.
Prakriti Purushas Chaupau.
Prakriti Purushas Chaupau.
Yadyap Yatma Vilakshana.
Yadyap Yatma Vilakshana.
Anyonya Pashrayat Krishna.
Anyonya Pashrayat Krishna.
Drishyatena Bidatayo. Prakrita lakshate hyatma.
Prakrita lakshate hyatma.
Prakritischa
tatatmani. Prakritischa tatatmani.
Sri Udhavaruvacha.
Sri Udhavaruvacha.
Prakriti purushas chobhau.
Prakriti purushas chobhau.
Yadyap yatma vilakshana.
Yadyap yatma vilakshana.
Anyonya Pashrayat Krishna.
Anyonya Pashrayat Krishna.
Drishyatena Bidatayo.
Drishyatena Bidatayo.
Prakrita Lakshate Yatma.
Prakrita Lakshate Yatma.
Prakritischa Tatatmani.
Prakritischa
Tatatmani. Vacha. Sri Uddhava said,
Prakriti,
nature,
Purusha,
the enjoyer,
or living entity,
cha,
and
upau,
both,
yadi api,
although.
Atma,
constitutionally,
Vilakshana,
distinct,
Anyonya,
mutual,
Apashraya,
because of shelter.
Krishna,
Krishna,
O Lord Krishna,
O Lord Krishna,
Drishyatena.
Drishyatena.
It does not appear.
It does not appear.
Bida.
Bida.
Any difference.
Any difference.
Tayo.
Tayo.
Between them.
Between them.
Prakrita.
Prakrita.
Within nature.
Within nature.
Lakshyate.
Lakshyate.
Is apparently seen.
Is apparently seen.
He.
He.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Atma.
Atma.
The soul.
The soul.
Prakriti.
Prakriti.
Nature.
Nature.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And
tata,
tata
also,
also
atmani,
atmani
in the soul,
in the soul.
Translation: Sri Uddhava inquired, although nature and the living entity are constitutionally distinct, O Lord Krishna, there appears to be no difference between them because they are found residing within one another. Thus the soul appears to be within nature, and nature within the soul. Purport. Sri Uddhava here expresses the doubt that arises in the heart of an ordinary conditioned soul. Although the Vedic scriptures declare that the material body is a temporary fabrication of the material modes of nature, the conscious living entity within the body is actually an eternal spirit soul. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has declared the material elements constituting the body to be his separated, inferior energy. Whereas the living entity is the superior, conscious energy of the Lord. Still, in conditioned life, the material body and the conditioned soul appear inseparable and thus non-different. Because the living entity enters the womb of a mother and gradually comes out in a developed body, the soul appears to have entered deeply within material nature. Similarly, by the soul's identification with the material body, the body appears to enter deeply within the consciousness of the soul. What is more, the body cannot exist without the presence of the soul. By this apparent mutual dependence, the difference between the body and soul is obscured. Sri Uddhava therefore questions the Lord in order to clarify this issue. Sri Uddhava uvacha prakriti purushas chopal yadyapyatma vilakshanal anyonya pashrayat krishna drishyate nabhidatayo prakritao lakshyate hyatma prakritish cha tatatmani. Sri Uddhava inquired, although nature and the living entity are constitutionally distinct, O Lord Krishna, there appears to be no difference between them because they are found residing within one another. Thus the soul appears to be within nature and nature within the soul. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschachyade Shudharne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this chapter is titled Elements of Material Creation, and we read through some 10 or 12 verses first, leading up to this verse, and I think we all saw from that that it is a fairly complex picture, at least, well, it is a fairly complex picture, and different people perceive it and present it differently. Different, not just people, but philosophers, thoughtful people, perceive it and present it differently. And this adds to the complexity, the fact that there are just so many different ideas and ways of seeing it and conceptions of what is the material world, what is the material nature, how it's working. And then, of course, ultimately how we should interact with it. So therefore, Uddhava, now in this final verse, is, he's leading up to questioning the Lord. What is the right way to really see these things? How should we see these things? Because otherwise we'll become confused. Are there 26 elements? Are there 25? Are there 9? Are there 13? Are there 7? Are there 5 or 6 or what? What really is going on here? So, Uddhava is about to ask the Lord to please clarify. But here, the point being made here in this particular verse is that, and it is a very fundamental point, it is about material nature in general, in the broad sense, just as an entity or as a substance, you could say, which has different constituent parts, but also can be seen as a complete whole. That the material nature and the living entity, the soul. From certain perspectives, they appear to be one, because in certain situations, certain arrangements of things within this material world, the soul seems to have entered so deeply and become so deeply involved in matter that it appears that he is just part of matter, just part of that scene, the material situation, and that's all. Not that he really has some distinct nature and therefore distinct position separate from the material nature, all of the material, each one of the material elements, and all of the material elements when they're put together, like our bodies. The example is given here, of course. It is the obvious example. These material bodies which we all have, the soul is there. Therefore there is consciousness. Therefore there is energy. Therefore there is life. These are symptoms of the soul, presence of the soul. But if we ask any person today in Chatsworth Center across the road, stop anyone busily walking around the shopping center and ask them, are you aware you are an eternal spiritual person completely distinct from your material body and the whole material world? Nothing to do with it. Are you aware of that? You will not get very positive response unless you meet some devotee. We were in the Chatsworth Center yesterday. We met some devotees. That was nice. I saw this person come running up to me from behind, sort of, and on the side. I thought, gosh, who's this? It was a devotee. I don't know what her name is, but she comes regularly. Came running up, Hare Krishna. So, but otherwise, you'll simply get some look of confusion. What is this? Who are you? What are you talking about? Don't disturb me. I'm busy shopping. So this is Uddhava's concluding presentation about what is the situation before he starts asking Lord Krishna to explain the situation. And it's a very fundamental, very basic point, and it's a very important point to get clear that what is the nature of the living entity, the soul, Atma? What is the then relationship of the soul with, first of all, the particular material body that the particular soul is inhabiting, and then all other living entities in this world and the whole material world? What is the relationship? How should we interact? How should we not interact? This is a very important point that he's raising in conclusion, having presented so many different, their opinions actually, of different people. Some of them are actually different opinions in which some of these people feel material nature is really differently constituted, that it really only has so many elements, or it really only has some other number of elements. So that is the case in regard to some, And in other cases, as we read, a few, some of them group. Some of them, they understand that there's a larger number, but for whatever reason, they may group different of the material elements together. Then two becomes one, or whatever it may be, five becomes one, even in some cases, in terms of things like sensory functions. They may be grouped five, may be grouped as one. So then you end up with a different number, but really it's just a different way of looking at the same thing, and it is not actually a different opinion. And then finally you come to the basic point being, within this material world, it is very unusual to find people who understand that I am not part of this material world. I am not part, or I am not this material body. And all the different implications, if I was this material body, all the different implications do not actually, they are not relevant to me. They're not real to me. They're fictitious. As Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that you're thinking so many people here on the battlefield are your relatives. They're not really your relatives, actually. They're just other people. They're just other living entities. And they're as different from you as some other person you never met from some other part of the world who you've never heard of, who's obviously very different from you. But even your immediate family members, they're as different, as distinct from you as that to you unknown person from the other side of the planet. So Lord Krishna explained to Arjuna like this, that therefore we should be very careful of being overly attached or being attached at all to our body or the bodies of others or ultimately the whole material world in general. But the number of people who appreciate this point, who understand this point, are small. There are some who say they sort of accept the point, but if you look at their lifestyle, you'll see the way they're living, which of course is simply a reflection of the way they're thinking and feeling, that it shows that they don't take it seriously. But rather what they take seriously is just living in a materialistic way, trying to enjoy the material nature and identifying with their own bodies and the bodies of others, etc., etc., like this. So in one sense, this is what it all boils down to. Whether you say there's 25 elements, 26, 13, 6, 7, or whether, like the so-called material scientists, whether you get into micro-analysis. For example, at least in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes eight bina prakritir ashtada, eight basic material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. The scientists, their specialty is particularly taking the earth element and subdividing it. So instead of just saying earth, then you get whatever, the different chemicals basically. Sodium and sulfur and manganese and potassium and there are many. But they're actually subdivisions of the basic earth element. And of course, ultimately, in these terms of this distinction between the actual living entity, the soul, the eternal living being, who is us, and the whole material nature, and all the subdivisions of material nature, and the totality of it, ultimately the point is, when you've understood that you're an eternal spiritual person, then you should, first of all, understand how you're distinct from matter. And then you should live a life and cultivate, develop a program for realizing that. For actually realizing that in fact I am, there I am. As distinct from a theoretical or just philosophical understanding, one should follow a program of activity to realize it in concrete, at least spiritually concrete terms. That is the point. The point is not to microanalyze the material nature and then write a book about it, or discover some new subset of the different component basic elements, some new chemical which they never came across before, something like that, or atomic theory, which is essentially just a different perspective on the same subject. That is not the point. Actually, not only is it not the point to write a book about it and become famous, make money, and perhaps earn a Nobel Prize for discovering something which, you know, the practicality of which no one will be able to utilize ever. Anyway, but at least you did it. Just because it's there. A countryman of mine, Edmund Hillary, was the first person to climb Mount Everest, accompanied by one of the locals who, it seems, knew the way, so perhaps he got there first. But then he wrote a book then he wrote a book about it. And people would ask him, why did you do it? He wrote a book about it because it is there. So what's the point? So really, in order to develop spiritually and to become realized spiritually, actually all one needs to know about material nature is in these more simple sort of elemental terms. Bhumi, apo, nalo, vayu, kam, mano, buddhir, evacha. Like this. Ahankara itiyame binaprakritir ashtada. There in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is listing out the eight basic material elements. That's really all you need to know in terms of developing your spiritual consciousness and becoming Krishna conscious, becoming God realized, spiritually realized like that. And as they say, the rest is all just detail, and too much detail, actually. So, but the fact remains, and it's a very important point, it's an extremely important point, is that, on the whole, people are deeply absorbed in material existence, and what to speak of perceiving directly that I'm the soul, the body is like a set of clothes around me, the eternal conscious soul. What to speak of that? People have never even heard of the idea. Even many people who are religious or spiritual or something like that. If you mention soul to them, they may say, oh yes, I have a soul. Like I have a right arm. I have a pullover. I have a flower garland. That's nice. So many things I have, and I have a soul. One of many things I have. But as described here in Srimad Bhagavatam in the Vedic literatures in general, we do not have souls. I do not have a soul. Nobody here has a soul. We are the soul. We actually are the soul. And this, if you can't get that, well, you have no real chance of making any progress at all, other than simply by accident or mercy, some good fortune like that. So this point is there. The soul enters the body. Someone is dying. Somebody is dying right now, somewhere. And the soul means the soul is exiting from the body. And if that person is not God realized, spiritually realized, Krishna conscious, they will simply go on and take another body. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, yam yam vapi smaram. Bhavam. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam. Whatever bhava, whatever nature you remember, you will take to that. You will get a body in those terms in your next life. And what nature will you remember? Will you just decide, well, I think I'll remember something. I think I'll remember Krishna. Oh, when the time of death comes. It is not so simple. What will one remember? One will remember whatever one has been most attached to during the course of the lifetime for so many years. One will remember, not by making some effort to remember, but that will force its way into one's memory, and one will remember that as one comes to the time of leaving the body, and as the soul actually leaves the body, or in other words, at the time of death. One will remember that. It is not optional. It is not optional. Yes. So one gets placed within a particular body suitable in terms to how you lived in your previous life and the condition you were in at the end of your previous life. You get a body which fits in with that. And then the soul becomes very attached and identifies. And therefore, as a result, people think that I am this body. I am a man, I am a woman, I'm older, I'm younger, I'm a certain nationality, whatever it may be, all these different. They're simply considerations in terms of the body, but we are not the body. So the soul appears to be part of the body, and the body appears to be part of the entity, you could say, the being. The body appears to be part of the being. Just see how the material nature is being put together. How expertly the material nature has been put together. So, of course, in certain respects at least, we can appreciate the point, this idea of how people would identify and how it appears to be like this, the merging of the living entity in the body and the merging of the body and the living entity. In the Bhagavatam, and at the beginning of the third canto, there's the description of the interrelationship, well, the interdependent relationship between, one, the soul, two, the body that the soul gets, and three, the demigods who are controlling material nature. It's a very interesting description. The adiatmic purusha, or living entity, means the soul. The adibhautik purusha means the body. And the adidaivik purusha means the demigods, the controllers of these things. So there it's pointed out that the conditioned soul, the soul who's deeply conditioned by material existence, if the soul does not have a material body, he cannot function because he's so deeply conditioned, attached. Just like some people, if they're not busy, they become disturbed. They have to be busy. One person I knew many years ago, there was a joke. He was anxiety prone, and there was a joke we had amongst ourselves. If he's not in anxiety about something, he'll get into anxiety. So, he hasn't got something to be in anxiety about, he'll get into anxiety. So, yeah. So someone, like even actually, interesting point, in Mahabharata, the Pandavas, just before, not long before the Battle of Kurukshetra, there are so many attempts to negotiate and avoid the battle and make some division or do something so the Pandavas could live and Duryodhana, so they could coexist somehow. But Duryodhana was always refusing. Finally, the Pandavas said, "We are Kshatriyas. We have to rule. We have to rule something. So at least give us a village each, 5 villages, little villages. One of us can take unit 5, someone else unit 6, someone else unit 7. Just give us each a village. That's all. And then you take the rest. The whole world, minus 5 villages, you wouldn't even notice that you lost something. But we're Kshatriyas, we have to rule." But Duryodhana famously responded, "I will not give you enough land to drive a pin into. But as Kshatriyas with that conditioned type of nature," of course they're great devotees, but still, in a certain sense, "as Kshatriyas with that nature, they have to do Kshatriya activity, otherwise they become dysfunctional." So the conditioned soul, who's so deeply attached to material existence and having a body and living materially, if he cannot, if the adiatmic purusha, the soul, does not have the shelter of the adibhautik purusha, the physical body entity, then the soul, the materially conditioned soul, becomes dysfunctional, cannot function. And of course, if there are not demigods to make different arrangements so that one gets things and so everything works, so the material world works, then how will the living entity, even if he or she has a material body, how will they function? They won't be able to function. But on the other hand, of course, the adibhautik purusha, the body, without a soul to give it life, consciousness, energy. Then the adi-bhautik purusha, the body, will also not be able to function. You'll simply have a dead body. And even if it does, even if the body has a soul within it, again without the demigods to supply things, the body will also not be able to function. And even the adi-daivik purusha, the demigods, if they don't have embodied souls to supervise and just generally manage and oversee, then they're going to be unemployed, just sitting there in the heavenly planets, doing nothing. So they also become dysfunctional or non-functional. Therefore, the point is made there earlier in Srimad Bhagavatam that none of them are independent, they're all interdependent. But who is independent is the Super Soul, is the Supreme Lord. Actually, those three, without the Super Soul, even if they're all there, if all three are there, still without the Super Soul, they cannot, none of them can function. But the Super Soul can function without them. Quite happily. The Supreme Lord can live quite happily without conditioned souls and without the whole material arrangement. So from a certain perspective, from this sort of perspective at least, we can see how this idea of dependency and of being connected and like that, how it is relevant. But ultimately, the point is there, and it's a vital point to understand, essential point. We are all eternal spiritual persons. We are not these material bodies. We are not part of the material world. And therefore, we have to extract ourselves and come to the right platform of existence, which means taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, becoming devotees, serving the Lord, living like that, and ultimately going back home, back to Godhead in the spiritual world. That is really the point. And Lord Krishna is going to, in a little while, bring this point out and clarify everything to Uddhava. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any question? Yeah. Shuddhi Prabhu, any comment?
Any comment?
Or anything? Anything?
Not yet. Not yet.
Not.
Back to the elements.
Two questions I want to ask you, please. So you talk about the demigods controlling everything. They also control our bodily functions or whatever, blinking eyelids.
Right.
So does that mean that we, even though we're chanting Hare Krishna, we probably see the Prabhupada instruction, are we still in one way controlled by the demigods?
Well, yes. In the sense that they're devotees and they see us as devotees, and under Krishna's supervision they're facilitating our functioning. Who else is going to do it? It's not that Krishna's going to do it himself. Krishna does certain things himself in relation to his devotees. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes the point that if one engages in the process of sacrifice, then the demigods look after you. Yeah. And there's this, you know, proper sort of relationship between us and the demigods and Krishna.
And the other one's question I want to ask you. So I think you were saying something that we have our real relationship is serving a Krishna, soul serving a Krishna.
Right.
So we've all got mothers and fathers, earthly mothers and fathers, parents, brothers and sisters. Now in the spiritual world, will there also be relationships like brother, sister, father, mother? But if there is that type of relationship, is it a relationship from your user calling? But if it is a relationship, is it a relationship from your this life, this existence? You know, like this devotee had this father, or he had this mother, and so will you continue now in the spiritual world to have
the
that
same
mother and that father, brother, and sister?
No.
But is there still relationships upon that brother?
There's mother? Still relationships.
So, I know it sounds strange. Those are spiritual relationships, yes. But
your parents there are not your parents here.
Yes.
Or your parents here will not be your parents there. Neither will your parents from your previous life, or the life before that, or the 100th life before, be your parents there. I mean, not that it's totally impossible, but the likelihood is remote in the extreme. Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki.